from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. In this segment, we talk about Warren Hellman, businessman, financier, philanthropist, and banjo-playing member of the Wronglers. He died of leukemia this past weekend at the age of 77. We want to talk about his life and his legacy, including his efforts to save journalism and his annual gift to San Francisco, the Free Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival. And joining us first is Jane Ganahl, a journalist who wrote his obituary in the Bay Citizen, which I should mention is an online nonprofit news organization which, to a great extent, Warren Hellman funded. And Jane, welcome to the program. Good to have you.
Good to be here. Thanks, Michael.
Let's talk, first of all, about the philanthropy of Warren Hellman, because you look at so many things. He spread his money around. I think he even made an analogy to it being like manure.
Exactly. And you spread it around, and it does a lot of good. If you let it pile up, it starts to smell.
Well, but I mean, you think about the San Francisco Free Clinic and Care Not Cash and the garage under the Golden Gate, in the Golden Gate Park by the museums. I mean, there's just so much. It's almost mind-boggling.
It is. It's almost overwhelming how much money he put into the Bay Area community. And, you know, politics as well as, you know, Jewish interests. Just a very brief list is that he was trustee emeritus of San Francisco Foundation, which is huge, Walter Haas School of Business, UC Berkeley Foundation, Brookings Institute, Committee on Jobs, a Jewish Community Federation, even things like the Voice of Dance and San Francisco Ballet, he was very instrumental in bringing funding to them.
And the Symphony, and Mills College, lest we forget, because
exactly.
There was a lot of protest over
yes,
the men being admitted, but that was soon done away with.
That's a great story.
Also, of course, the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival, which has been ongoing now and is one of the most major festivals of its kind anywhere in the world.
Yes, and the most it's possibly singular in the fact that it's completely free, and the musicians don't play for free. He pays them because he thinks they're, you know, they should be paid. But it's basically a gift to the city of San Francisco that he thinks everybody should love the music that he loves, and so he has been doing this for now, I think, 11 years.
Talking to Jane Ganahl about Warren Hellman, who died on Sunday, and I know many of you out there have memories of Warren Hellman, and it's certainly an opportunity for you to share those with us. In fact, let me give you the toll-free number, and you can join us in the course of this segment, and certainly welcome your calls. It's toll-free at 866-733-6786, memories or thoughts about Warren Hellman, 866-733-6786, or you can email them to us, forum@kqed.org, or post them on our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment or go to our Facebook page. In fact, Speedway Meadow in Golden Gate Park was renamed Hellman Meadow. Hellman Hollow, excuse me, just on Thursday.
Right. And yes, I think the word had gotten around that Warren was failing, and so they sort of sped up that process. And I think he was already in the hospital when it became official, and his family said that he was absolutely thrilled, that it was something he would really cherish.
Let's talk a bit with you, Jane, because I know you're familiar with it and have written about it, about Hellman as a businessman. He once said to me, I'd rather play the banjo than make money. He may have even said that on the program here. But the truth of the matter is he was a rather brilliant businessman, and was, I think, the youngest guy at Lehman?
Yes. He joined Lehman Brothers in his early 20s and was the youngest partner ever. At age 26, he was a partner at Lehman Brothers, and then he became president of Lehman and chief investment officer about 10 years later, I think. And but it was not altogether a great experience. Once he left there, he said, you know, from now on, I'm going to do business completely the opposite of what I learned at Lehman Brothers. So he was, you know, not thrilled with his overall experience, despite that he did very well for himself there.
No, he was a venture capitalist, and then he started the Hellman Friedman, actually took Levi Strauss public back in 1986.
Yes, he did. Two mixed results. You know, I mean, it's sort of been all over the map since then, but he's had his share of failures. You know, he's had, he hasn't had a perfect record, but certainly he made a huge amount of money for Hellman and Friedman as well.
And made a huge amount of money, period.
Yes, period. Well, and he also came from money. You know, his great-grandfather was Isaias Hellman, who was one of the earliest financiers in California and was the topic of a wonderful book by Francis Dinkelspiel, who is Warren's cousin, called Towers of Gold.
Yeah, in fact, we have Frances on the line here, and
we're
going to bring her into this. When she was on Forum with Warren Hellman, we heard a song about that great-grandfather, Isaias Hellman, that Warren wrote and played his banjo to. And Frances Dinkelspiel is an author, a freelance journalist, Warren Hellman's cousin. Good morning, Frances.
Hi, Warren. Hi, Jane.
Did you say
I called you Warren.
You called me Warren.
That's an unconscious wish.
Michael. You could turn me into Warren any day of the week. Actually,
yeah.
I was just going to ask Jamie. Maybe I'll ask you. Did he stay a Republican until the end? I used to introduce him as one of the lonely people in San Francisco because I think he was a Republican, wasn't he?
No, I don't think so. He supported a lot of Democratic candidates at the end. I don't think he was.
It's actually in the story in the Bay Citizen. He talked about giving up his Republican, you know, card, so to speak. This was, I don't know, I think 5 or 6 years ago, he said he got very disturbed by the Republicans' lack of desire to separate church and state and became a decline to state is the box that he's been checking. So,
well, again, we have Frances Dinkelspiel with us, who's the author, by the way, of Towers of Gold, How One Jewish Immigrant Named Isaias Hellman Created California, a book that has been much praised. Frances, what do you remember your cousin for mostly?
Well, when I think about Warren, I think about two things. Obviously, his generosity, the community, but really his ability to have fun. I mean, Warren liked to do things and, you know, add a little spice to them all the time. And if I just take my own experience in writing this book, Towers of Gold, you know, when it was coming out, you know, Warren was a participant. You know, the song that he sings about Isaias Hellman, he wrote to play at my book release party. And then when Hardly Strictly Bluegrass needed another stage, he decided to name the new stage the Towers of Gold stage, which was such a, you know, for me, I was so thrilled. And it was a tribute to Isaias Hellman. And I think it was a reflection of how Warren sort of approached things in life. You know, he was this very successful businessman, but he didn't take himself too seriously. He didn't take life too seriously. He wanted to go out and create great experiences for people. And if that meant anything from Hardly Strictly Bluegrass to his sort of private parties. He loved to throw parties, and he always had great themes at his parties, as well as just sort of how he ran his everyday life. And so I think that that exuberance is something I'm always going to remember.
Well, he was also just what we would call a regular guy. I mean, I was always surprised in some respects by his humility and self-effacing manner. In fact, one of the things we didn't mention that he contributed a great deal to with his generosity and philanthropy was education. He actually enlisted me to get involved in a major fundraiser that's now ongoing, I believe, every year for the San Francisco schools, which he was quite concerned about and dedicated to helping. Also, Frances, you might well recall, because it was memorable, when you were on with him back in 2008 discussing your family legacy and your book, and we've got a cut from that we thought we'd hear people hear.
Living in New York for 18 years, it always kind of bothered me because the leading New York Jewish families have done a lot to promote their name and history, whether it's the Lehmans, the Loebs, others. And there was very little, you know, I kept thinking, hey, my great-grandfather was better than any of those guys. And I guess I was interviewed once. And the person said, if you could be anybody in history, who would you like to be? And I said, my great-grandfather. It didn't take an instant to answer the question.
Well, there it is. Another tribute to Isaias Hellman, Frances Dinkelspiel, that Warren talked about back in 2008, as I said. And it's still kind of fascinating to hear him compare living on the East Coast and growing up and feeling really connected much more here.
Well, you know, even though Warren was born in New York, you can't forget that, you know, his family has been from here and has felt very rooted here. And Warren obviously was very proud of his family's history and traditions. And so, you know, I think that's why he felt so connected here. You know, and he spent a lot of time when he was a kid in California as well.
So are you ready to hear again the song he wrote?
Of course. I love that song.
This is a song Warren Hellman wrote and performed on Forum with the Wranglers about Isaias Hellman.
I.W. Hellman, he was a pioneer. came to California in his 16th year. Rode across the isthmus to come here and become California's greatest financier. Sayers went to work in a dry goods store. Said, this is not what I came here for. So put me a safe right here by the door, because I am probably a banker at my core.
Oh, I guess you're the founder of the clan.
Well, he did love that banjo, Francis Dinkinsfield. We're talking about Warren Hellman. If you have memories of Warren Hellman, businessman, philanthropist, banjo man, and certainly a man of great who was deserving of great respect and memories, if you have some specific memories, we'd like to hear what they are. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786, or you can email us forum at kqed.org. Jane Ganahl is with us, who wrote his obituary in Bay Citizen, an online nonprofit news organization which he funded, and Francis Dinkinsfield, the author and freelance journalist, author of Towers of Gold, How One Jewish Immigrant Named Isaias Hellman Created California. And you just heard that tribute that Warren wrote to his great-grandfather. Susan Hirsch is also joining us this morning. She advised Warren Hellman on philanthropy for many years, knew him for nearly 30 years. And Susan Hirsch, good to have you with us on Forum. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, what is it that you want to say now about Warren Hellman and his philanthropy, which was so considerable and, as we've said, so diffuse?
And that was really one of his great magical talents, is that he spread this magic all over the community. He cared deeply, deeply about San Francisco, and as Francis said, loved to have a good time working with people. And I think when you ask what people will remember, there are thousands of people whose lives he's impacted, who he knows, and there are tens of thousands of people who he did things for and was involved with, who he never had a chance to meet, but they're grateful to him at the same time.
Well, we mentioned, the fine arts, ballet, symphony, opera, even Freight and Salvage over in Berkeley, the Magnus Museum. I mean, the list is just so extraordinary. How do you advise somebody like that who has so many interests and wants to help in so many different ways?
That's a great question. He led the way, and Warren was a unique human being. And I used to say, when he'd call and say, what do you think? You'd know there was an amazing idea that was going to come behind that. And that he would come up with something or read something or hear about something, and a lot of it was not always glamorous. You know, taking on the project to build a garage in Golden Gate Park, to do something for the city, to help the institution stay there, was something he read. He called and said, you know, what do you think the impact will be on the park and the museums if they leave? And began thinking about things and doing some work to understand, and then would move forward. He was a guy who liked to get things done.
He also backed Jeff Adachi's pension plan, lest we forget, as well as Care Not Cash here in San Francisco.
This city, this is, you know, people often would ask and say someone of his reputation and smarts could play on a much bigger stage. This is the stage, and as Francis said, he cares deeply about San Francisco. This is the sandbox he wanted to play in. He wanted to be involved far more than just giving money with who are the people, who are the politicians, the community leaders, as well as who the teachers are in the schools, people on the street, going to all the various neighborhoods. He wanted to be out and be part of this community.
Well, I want this community and beyond to share memories with Warren Hellman. I'm going to go to your phone calls now. And we should mention, in fact, first caller, Jade, met him skiing. He was a world-class athlete in many ways also as well. And
indeed.
Jade, tell us about that. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. First, my condolences go out to the Hellman family. It's just such a shock when my husband and I heard that he passed away. My best memories of Warren are seeing him in line on a powder day when it's dumping and hardly anyone else is skiing, and you look over and you're about to get on the ski lift, and there he is, ready to ski. And he had such a passion for skiing, and his sense of fun just exuded from him, and it's a great loss.
And thank you for that call. It was more than skiing, though, Jane. I mean, he was a runner. He was, like I said, a superb athlete.
Oh, my gosh. He was an endurance runner and endurance rider as well. He would do this 100-mile run in the Sierras and run and ride. And he used to say that pain is my friend, because as long as you have pain, you know you keep moving.
Should also mention, in all of these bona fides that we're talking about and all the things he contributed to. He was a former KQED board member as well. And Judy is with us. Judy, good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
That's how I met Warren. I'm an endurance rider, and he was very competitive. And we're all very competitive. And I rode with him a couple of times on various rides, and eventually I found out who he was. And I was just amazed that he would take the time and effort to do that, because it's a big deal either running 100 miles or riding a horse 100 miles. He might have ridden the horse 100 miles on the Tevis. But he's regularly rode 50 miles.
Thank you for that. And on we go to more of your calls, remembering Warren Hellman with Jill Wins joining us. Hi, Jill.
Hi. I wanted to tell the story about how I met Warren when we were trying to keep the DeYoung Museum in the park. We had a big conflict with the Board of Trustees and a group of community people anxious to make sure the museum was rebuilt in the park. And we went, Willie Brown was mayor. He called us into his office. He said, okay, guys, this is not going anywhere. I think I have somebody that can help you. And he opened the door to an inner office, and out came Warren Hellman. Said, I'll raise the money to build the garage. And that was when I met him. And he actually, you know, it was a fight, but we did it. Warren followed through on that. And then actually it was, you know, I said, you know, Warren, you need to be involved in the school district. Mm-hmm. And that's when we formed the Business Advisory Council, and he, you know, we made the school alliance, and he has been dedicated to the school district since that time.
Thank you for that, Jill. And we'll take more of your calls. Again, we're remembering Warren Hellman, but Susan Hirsch, there is a sense that he touched so many lives in San Francisco, particularly with his philanthropy. One has to ask the question, what's the sense you have of the way he's being remembered in general and the outpourings of grief?
It's really wonderful. The number of people who have called and emailed and listened to your callers who've said that how their lives are different because of Warren. It could have been a chance meeting over a cup of coffee or standing in a ski line or hearing him involved and speak about a nonprofit that encouraged them to get involved. And that was one of his great talents, was to really stand up for what he believed in, and by doing that, led by example and encouraged other people to do the same thing. And it doesn't always have to be millions of dollars. As you were talking about the garage, one of the great things he did in addition to the millions of dollars was he put his time and invested that into the community, and that's what you hear back from a lot of people.
Well, as I said, he said to me he'd rather play the banjo than make money, and I think we have a caller here, Oren, who, Oren, you heard him play at the Fillmore?
I did, and I think it was I'm not sure if it was Peter Rowan or Dave Rollins, but he stood up there, he said, this is my first time on the Fillmore stage, and then he came out into the upper balcony where us regular folks were standing, and I stood next to him, and we shook hands, and just thanked him for his generosity and his courage to go on stage. And we stood there and listened to a couple songs, and it was just super nice. It was just great. Anyway, fond memories.
Thank you for that call. And I think we have his granddaughter on the phone. Eleanor, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I just wanted to say how the thing I remember most about my grandpa is that he had a great sense of humor, and that he loved his banjo jokes. He loved to make fun of banjo players and how no one wanted to hear the banjo player. And my favorite one, not my favorite one, the one that I thought of, it's not my favorite one by at all, but was that how can you tell who the biggest fan of a banjo player is? It's the one that apologizes before running away.
Well, he was known, I think, Jane, wasn't he, for having really a great repertoire and collection of sort of borderline appropriate jokes?
Yes, pretty terrible jokes, actually. I mean, terrible as in the quality, and they were, semi-appropriate, I'd say, as opposed to completely inappropriate, but a lot of shaggy dog stories and, you know, long waits for punchlines that you kind of go, really, that was it, you know, but definitely funny and very self-deprecating. I mean, he was very self-deprecating about his own banjo skills, and yet I heard him several times, and I used to write about music. He was an excellent banjo player.
Oh, thank Eleanor for the call. Yeah, he was a good banjo player. I'm wondering some more, Francis Dickensbiehle, about his family life, his personal life, if you could just give us the picture there, because he did have a lot of grandchildren. He had...
Well, Warren had a really rich family life. He has four absolutely exceptional children who themselves are very, very successful, as well as being great athletes. Tricia Hellman Gibbs is the co-founder of the San Francisco Free Clinic, along with her husband Richard Gibbs, which is an important institution in the city. She's a former skier on the U.S. ski team. Francis Hellman is a physicist and the chair of the physics department at UC Berkeley. Mick Hellman has his own investment firm and is a professional bicyclist. Judith Hellman is a researcher at UCSF. Very accomplished doctor. And plus, he has very talented grandchildren. One of his grandsons played on the stage with him this fall at Hardly Strictly Bluegrass when the Wranglers played with Jimmy Dale Gilmore. And I know that was really a thrill for the family. Warren had just a loving family. His wife, Chris, whom he met many years ago, as Jane explained in her obituary, on a ship coming back from England. They had a really rich, loving life together. Unfortunately, she's ill right now, but until recently, they, had this really strong partnership. She sang in the Wranglers as well. They traveled a lot. They, had a lot of fun. They would go skiing every weekend. Warren had... as rich a life he had publicly, it was even richer on the personal side.
I want to read some emails from our listeners. Kurt writes, Warren is a member of the 1%. His charity was providing things and services for the common good that should be provided by the government. Why isn't there enough public funding, and why must we depend on charity and philanthropy for stuff the government should be providing? Rest in peace, Warren. Kim writes, I'm a great admirer of Warren Hellman's and have seen and read him say many times that he wants people to know the Hazel Dickens song Mannington Mines. I hope people will learn this song in his honor. More of your emails. John writes, I went to the first Hardly Strictly Festival, which occurred just weeks after September the 11th. It was perhaps the sweetest day in my memory. Several thousand people reveling in the peace and beauty of Golden Gate Park and taking in great music. It reminded us all of what is the most important in the face of disaster. And Amy says, an exceptional man, so kind, so thoughtful. He always took time to introduce himself and remember your name. I met him many years ago, but got to know him when he decided to go to Burning Man. What a sense of adventure at 70, something he decides to go to. Suddenly he decides to go to the desert oasis. He ended up camping with a trance camp out of Detroit called Disorient. They embraced each other wholeheartedly. What a loss, but such a wonderful life. Michael says, I had the great pleasure to meet Mr. Hellman only a couple months ago on a video shoot where my crew was able to interview him briefly, just at the tail end of the last Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival. I remember him telling us about the great pleasure he took in creating the festival because he is such a fan of the genre of music, wanted to jam with these amazing artists. He mentioned Emmylou Harris and Robert Plant. So he made a festival, invited all these artists and them. He could jump on stage and with whomever he wanted. He truly knew how to spend his money. What a treasure he was. And we'll go to another caller, and that's you, Orlando. Good morning.
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my phone call. I just was listening to all the information about Warren and all his work. I just wanted to ask about the sustainability. Now that he's gone, is there somebody in to fill in the vacuum, that leadership role with his philanthropy and going forward within San Francisco?
Yeah.
I will take my answer off the air.
Okay, and we thank you for the question. I don't know, Jane or Susan, who wants to handle that?
I would say Susan.
Yeah, okay, Susan.
I think everybody in the community will be looking to see who's going to step forward, and I hope that that is something that, as we've talked about, is playing it forward and continuing to do. Warren was Warren. There are huge shoes to fill. But one of the great things is he really inspired a lot of the next generation of philanthropists to begin to step forward and do much more than just writing a check to get involved. So it may not be one person who emerges right now, but I think on a number of different issue areas, whether it's through the schools and parks and arts, that people are stepping forward because he helped mentor people. And he had a great example to say you can do philanthropy, it's serious business in many ways, and you can have a lot of fun doing it at the same time.
Well, we have some critical remarks here. That's to be expected always in the wake of somebody's death. Faye writes, truth before slathering praise. The Golden Gate parking garage has been a failure. Rates too high for many parkgoers, not delivering on its promise. And yet another wool over the eyes of voters who passed Prop J in 1998. The concourse authority that was created from it has been criticized for building an underground garage that both diverges what was promised and has not met expectations in removing cars from parking or being affordable to park goers. No one can argue that Warren's garage is a success, so why laud him for it? Do you want to say anything about that, Susan?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Well, I'll speak up for that. I mean, I think, you know, all I know is that when I was driving my elderly mother to the, you know, DeYoung Museum, thank God there was a garage right there that she could, we could park at, and she could, you know, go up to the DeYoung and get there more easily. I mean, what the writer says, maybe there's some true elements, but I think, you know, in life you take big risks, and sometimes you win and sometimes you fail. And I think Warren and a group of people in San Francisco clearly felt the garage was necessary to help the DeYoung Museum. And, you know, perhaps it's not perfect in its implementation, but it certainly is very good in its implementation. And I think Warren was the kind of guy who took criticism well. I mean, he was not, he never portrayed himself as perfect. He never portrayed himself as, you know, scoring 100% on everything. But what was so good about Warren was that he said yes, he was willing to take that risk. He was willing to humiliate himself if that's what came to be. He was not concerned about his image. He was concerned about the issues at hand.
And again, Frances Dinkenspiel is the author of Towers of Gold. Let me read another email here from Lisa, who says, I think it's important to acknowledge and remember the role Warren Hellman played in preserving Mills College as a women's college. He was Board of Trustees president in 1990 when the college voted to change its mission from an all-women's undergraduate education option to going co-ed. While he had been the leader of wanting the institution to be fiscally responsible and was a proponent of the college becoming co-educational, when the students went on strike, he was open to counter-proposals that were developed. The community and strong proposals eventually persuaded him and the other trustees to reconsider the vote, and this was historic. And, of course, we just had the new president of Mills on for him, and we will indeed remember Warren Hellman, and he made his mark, and hope that some of you will honor him today as we remember what his contributions are. Let me thank Jane Ganahl and Frances Dinkenspiel and Susan Hirsch, and we're going out with the Wronglers. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.
Sayus went to work in a dry goods store. Said, this is not what I came here for. So put me a safe right here by the door, because I am probably a banker at my car.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.